Okay, everyone. Hello. Welcome to the Sphinx Call in Buddhas and Butterflies, where we are working with transformation. What I sometimes refer to as the extra or the combination emotions, meaning they're combinations of all the other emotions in various degrees. So the fear, anger, grief, worry, joy, sadness are like the building blocks. And how those building blocks get assembled and constructed for each and every one of you will vary. And that in turn leads to emotions that are a little bit more layered and have a bit more complexity to them. So things like guilt, apathy, shame, anxiety, overwhelm, jealousy are some really common ones that hang out here. And not to say that there aren't others, and those are just the ones that I tend to see come up the most frequently for folks. They can be a little bit less direct in terms of being able to untangle them because they are layered. So it's nice that we have the work that we've already done with the initial building blocks to set that foundation for them to tease apart with greater ease. And we follow it up with an integration session next week. So that too helps to get into those emotions that might not feel as linearly direct. I mean, not to say that anything else has felt linear or direct, but even more so in terms of the work that we're up to in this realm. We're going to stay within our first two houses. So houses one and two. I'm not sure if I feel like I've emphasized this enough in this particular realm of houses. And so the thing that I really want to tie in here today, or the thing that seems to be coming up anyways, as I've been tuning into the group energy and the priorities for today, is looking at the roots around our existential stuff. So existential stuff is like existential fear, existential rage, existential grief, etc. And that can even include existential guilt, existential shame, anxiety. You get the idea. So there's this tie-in to the very fact that you are here, the very fact that you are created. And sometimes that can go down to a learning of where you learn that you are somehow a burden to be taken care of, that your very existence was somehow a burden in early life. So we'll see, excuse me, we'll see where the session takes us and where we go today. Excuse me. And yeah, on that note, I'm going to invite you to just get comfy, cozy. Thank you for all the communications. Know that they've been received for those of you that are listening to the recording. Thank you so much for sending that in. You're always welcome for those of you who might not know what I'm talking about to send me a little update around the things that are sort of active, that are live, that you're chewing on, and essentially your intentions for the session. And I like to think of this, I'm going to maybe just spend a minute here talking about this, less so than like a here's my order for the day, and more so of a mindful practice of these are the themes that I'm really working on and the themes that I want to actively, through contemplation, through reflection, through our work in Buddhas and Butterflies, through whatever other practices you've got going on. And maybe you're also working with other realms, somatic modalities, breath work, whatever it is that you're into. And working however it is you're working on yourself and whatever it is you're curious about, sort of letting me know like the highlights of where that's at for this week and see if you can also tie it into what we're up to for that week. So for example, tying into like the guilt, shame, apathy, if that's available, and sometimes it just isn't. Or you might just give me some updates around here's what's going on in my body. I always love knowing what's happening in your body. That gives me really juicy information. Far more effective than the, I'm going to say, quote unquote, forgive me, spiritual realm of information or what you think might be related to concepts that are just more abstract in nature. They're not, I mean, trust, I can live in the abstract and work well in the abstract. And I'm going to encourage you to anchor it more into the body and the mind and what's happening there. So that way it can be more sustainable and you can notice it with more relatable ongoing results what's up for you. So this is less of a wish list and more of a here's what I'm practically working on and working towards in my life. And I mean, like let's say that's like 95% of it. And there's still a 5% of dancing with the mystery of this life and the the element of I have no idea how that's going to show up, but it can, where we get to be a bit more like whimsical and playful and open to it all. Not that that's not tied into the body and the mind, because that's there too in its own way. Okay, everybody, I'm just going to add one more color here. And then we can think of this as, in essence, as I frame it through that lens, an opportunity for you to be more actively engaged with the process, to have more skin in the game, so to speak. And some of you are, by all means, already doing this. And some of you may wish never to do that. And so honor whatever works well for you in this journey for you. Just giving you some different ways and different lenses to look at this through, and some different ways to present information through. I like to think of it as having a valuable intention to be your like guide for whatever it is we're looking for. We just have no idea how that's going to show up. Okay. So at least I don't. And I have some preconceived thoughts and ideas and some things that might be probable or some things that might seem like they would make sense or seem to be logical. And I leave a lot of room for the unseen to show up however it does in the ways that it does. Okay, I'm going to digress on those notes for right now, and I'm going to invite us to connect to our breath. And as you connect to your breath, feeling your seat underneath you, and just gently expanding in whatever way feels right into a light, slower, deeper breath practice for just these few breaths, just to enter here today. Mindful breathing. Every inhale becomes an opportunity to call in, to receive, to drink in life, to come alive. Every exhale becomes an opportunity to release, to let go, to make space. And every breath becomes an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And if any part of that is pleasant, it's even neutral, taking time to savor that, to drink that in. And to let yourself really steepen And then from this place, I'm going to invite you to actively locate a resource, whether that's external or internal. And we're going to do another round of that appreciation. And as we locate, I'm going to invite you to actually take a minute to purposefully linger, letting your gaze move from one object to the next that's pleasant and neutral, but not rushing, taking time to purposely linger before you move on to the next. Maybe even somehow there for a moment your attention is with two things before it fully moves to the next object. Almost like I'm thinking of like monkey bars. Have you ever like gone across the monkey bars? where you have like two hands on one thing and then you move and you have one hand in one spot and one hand back behind, and then both hands come to the next rung, come to the next bar. It's like that, but with your gaze. I'm going to invite us to really slow down here. And one by one, drinking in at least a handful of things. And then ultimately letting your gaze land on something that may not have even been any one of those things. Might be something different. That maybe somehow even surprises you as you find yourself drinking this thing in. Noticing the qualities that you like about it. What feels good here? And whether that's the shape, the color, the size, what it reminds you of, the way the light, the shadow play with it, or potentially the negative space that it creates. I'm going to invite you to let yourself really continue to nourish yourself by means of just sweetly breathing here. And breathing this sweetness inside of you. Whatever this thing is. Or potentially it's just simply neutral and breathing that neutrality in. And as you draw that towards you by means of breathing just a little bit closer, imagining that you could breathe that right inside of your body. All the qualities that you appreciate here, one by one, drinking them inside of your body. Noticing how the body responds. And however it does, noticing any parts in particular that feel good or pleasant, easeful or neutral to be with, and drinking those in too, savoring, slowing down to be with, and mindfully appreciating as you drink in and let yourself steep. And all that feels good here, out there, as well as in here, in this body mind of yours. As you do that, or as you continue to drink this in and steep this in, allowing this to rumble through, I'm going to offer these words. Thank you for the opportunity to gather here today. And thank you to all of our helpers that are here with us, all that hold this space safe and sacred, that nourish us along the way. Thank you to all that's gone into this sweet moment of connection. In our communities and in our family, our ancestors and our lineage for giving us the opportunity to just simply be here. Thank you for all that's come before me, calling in the very nature, the foundation, the substrate for my foundational existence. And thank you to the earth that reminds us how to receive this nourishment, that reminds us how to be grounded in our bodies and how to mindfully steepen it. Thank you to the sky above, remembering what it is to have space and how to breathe, room to take it all in. And thank you to the fire that purifies, that connects to our expansion, to the greatest calling of our spirit. And thank you to the water that pours through our emotions and our consciousness, that goes to the very core, connecting us as well to our ancestors. Thank you. Oh. Shanti, 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 peace, peace, peace. And as we hang out here, I invite you to let yourself linger there for however long feels right for you, continuing to savor whatever you are with, knowing that this becomes a resource for you to take with you throughout the session today, as well as to return back to at any point in time. This becomes our fuel. This becomes a way of reminding our brain that something is actually working quite well for us, which is a radical thing in and of its own. If we did nothing more than this practice for the next hour, whew, could be really valuable to retrain our nervous systems. So honoring whatever feels right for you here. And on this note, the first part of our session is coming in, and it's actually simply that of honoring ourselves and what is it to actually honor the very nature of us, our humanness, our divinity, everything in between. And there's a lot in there. There's a lot that's held within humanness and divinity. And it's through the left side of the chest. It's through, it's not a particular meridian pathway, but it goes down much like a dagger from like the left brain. It's like a really wide dagger, all the way through the muscles of the upper chest, all the way through the neck. And then the tip of it hangs out essentially right around that left nipple. It keeps moving around a little bit, so but it's right around like the center point of the breast. Granted, our nipples may not be quite centered in our breast tissue. Mine certainly aren't, and that's just a general energetic center, so to speak, that I'm pointing to more than the physical anatomical centering. Okay, so no worries if you got innies or outies or anything in between. We're working more with the energy of it all. And the essence of this is what a note to start off on, innies and outies. I hope you have your sense of humor is with you today. It might be a playful session. The dagger that I'm seeing is coming through the left brain, and it's carrying the energy of the intellect. And it's carrying the sense of like intellectual protection and intellectual covering of the heart, and also protection, but not necessarily in healthy ways, of receiving your pure essence of nourishment that is available to you, that is your birthright from within you. And as we just begin to notice this, as I'm going to refer to that whole sword energy, that pathway, as the covering of the intellect or the mental covering, I might go back and forth between those terms, is creating a really heavy weight within the system, almost like it's become too burdensome to bear anymore, which is actually a good thing, meaning that's the sign that your body's actually ready to release this and to put this down, which in turn allows for an opening of the heart. As I say that, there's another part of you that feels a little bit like eek, not so sure about that. We've done that a few times before. That hasn't always gone very well. Are you sure we should be doing this? And to say it's having some anxiety, and some, it almost looks like it's playful in my brain this morning, hyperventilating. And it's just this like little thing, but it's causing this big ruckus. And ironically, what it the nourishment that it seems to need, it's just noticing that it can actually have a really big impact. So there's just this like small little like eek, I don't know. It's just this like small little seed of a belief system that can create anxiety, that can create panic, that can create overwhelm, that is so much so that it actually is needing this layer of protection of the intellect to support it in shutting it down so it doesn't actually have to feel the way that it's feeling. And as we point out, this is sort of interesting, if we point out its own power that it actually has, it remembers that it actually doesn't necessarily need to do all of that panicking, and it actually begins to reclaim its own honor, its own dignity in particular, which helps to restore overall the capacity for both of these parts to find a new balance, which will help to, in general, restore honor. So as I see all these elements coming into play, from a body talk perspective, we're bringing in circulation of all the healing resources through these areas of the pathway of the sword, and that little eek part of you that actually is incredibly deeply powerful. And that's hanging out more so just to the left of the heart, between roughly ribs, right around rib four, I want to say, right around the fourth rib. And maybe just an inch and a half or so at most from the midline. Okay, so we're gonna work with circulation of all of those elements, bringing in blood that carries our passion, nerve our communication, lymph that drains our toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing. Just take a moment to linger there on that. We're also going to do a little bit of extra work on those pieces. And essentially, as we bring in the planetary energy of Mercury, which carries our intellectual communication, our sometimes misinterpretations, our misunderstandings. I believe we're entering a Mercury retrograde. Is it in Leo? I think it might be in Leo. And the ways that our mental mind tries to make sense of things, but because it can misconstrue things, it never fully actually has an answer that's satisfactory. And that's what keeps this loop going. It can never really find a satisfaction or nourishment at a deep level. And without that, everything keeps, like I said earlier, looping. It keeps spinning its wheels. And it keeps this whole sort of element in flow and in cycle, and it keeps us seeking and looking for things other than other, pardon me, and not actually locating them or finding them within ourselves, which is in our bodies. Okay. So here, coming back to circulation, we run blood, nerve, lymph. We're also working with chi or vitality, consciousness or awareness, right down into all the little guys, electrons, protons, solitons, neutrons. We're working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor, endorphins, hormones, endocannabinoids that lower inflammation, lower anxiety, lower depression, and help us to heal on all levels. And especially having an impact on our nervous system and our immune system. The immune system, by the way, from a body talk perspective, is heavily influenced by two chakras, the heart chakra and the sexual chakra, which is less to do about sex and more to do about vitality and more to do about embracing our own existence, our own aliveness. We're going to give this a little mini body talk session as we work here. We're actually going to work with these two chakras and their connection. So the sexual chakra is about creation, creativity, the very essence that created you, which happened through your parents, but wasn't limited to your parents. It just simply happened through them. They were like the vessels to carry the unseen energy that ultimately manifested in the form of your particular expression. This often leads to the sticky point. And this is a tough one. This is a big one, or it can be a tough one. In essence, here, there's a point where we ultimately begin to move away from the need to condemn our parents for our very creation, for us turning out the way that we did. And there's a point where we begin to open up our heart to see that it was actually something beyond even them that created us. And then herein lies the connection to the heart chakra in a way that brings in balance and harmony and contentedness and peacefulness. Amongst all of that, there's a quality of forgiveness that begins to naturally emerge. It's not like forgive people, forgive your parents, and then you'll be at peace. It's kind of a dance of being able to find peace and forgiveness at the same time. So this isn't some new guilt trip about, you have to do this or you have to do that in order to fully experience this or that. The world's full of people telling you what to do and how to get there. This is none of that. This is just simply pointing to the fact that things co-arise. And to begin to undo the mind's need to make it make sense by having linearity prescribed to it. I think we talked about linearity in the past, somewhere in the past few weeks, I think, if memory serves, and it might not. And as we work with the embracing of the co-arising of the non-linear nature of life, it becomes its own sweet thing to circulate, which sounds interesting. Through the body mind. It sounds a little bit abstract, even. Linear time becomes its own source of rigidity and its own formal structure that doesn't allow for life to flow through us in the way that non-linear time is meant to. Non-linear time connects us to all of the space and the time, in ways that are not necessarily, forgive me for being redundant here. Connected in a particularly logical or linear fashion, but allow us to recognize the truth of who and what we are from the different perspectives that we've been, all of the variations of all of the essences of all of the people that we've been prior to this moment in time, and those yet to arrive, which even includes the essence of these two parts that we're working with. And as we work with these two particular parts, the intellectual sword and the little eek person part of you. There is this, in essence, room, spaciousness, a quality of we don't actually have to work so hard here anymore. And as they connect to that source of circulation itself, one might say, we're supporting them in having, much like hydration, circulating our joy and helping to release any impurities that no longer need to be here. And within this place, the need for the yin essence of nourishment and the yang essence of protection becomes so distilled, they actually become very similar in nature. They actually become almost one and the same. But if your mind thinks that's a bit of a stretch, feel free to include the circulation of nourishment and the circulation of protection as distinct elements here. And as it works with circulation of all that flows through here in a very fluid capacity through the system, I see an opening again through the chest, through the left side of the heart, beyond mind, in a way that allows the body to steep in an essence of awareness that the mind may never actually make sense of. until this is finally complete, which may not be a today thing. It may not even be a this lifetime thing. And it might be. It might be. It has the capacity to be. There's a lot of spiritual teachings out there that point to otherwise. But when I point to it through the way that I'm pointing, I'm just mentioning it in the fact that you actually don't need to have the pressure on for this to come into awareness. Sometimes it happens by means of taking the pressure off of the system. Meaning, so what if it doesn't happen this lifetime? So what if you don't become fully aware of who you are? And that part of you that may be driven to even like seek then that way begins to actually withdraw the sword, the intellectual covering of the heart begins to actually retract. And in doing so, there's a deep honoring and a restoration of the awareness of who you are in ways that your mind may, again, not quite make sense of yet, but we're simply restoring that consciousness through the body so that it's available for when the mind is ready fully to land there. Okay, I did not see this getting so esoteric right off the hop today, but nonetheless, it's where we are. And I want to be really clear in this territory. There isn't, and I know a lot of people go seek with teachers and sit with teachers and sit with guides and sit with people that they refer to as gurus. And ultimately, the work isn't done by sitting with those people. The work is done by withdrawing from your own system the information that needs to be withdrawn and the information that needs to be supportively understood through a very different perspective or lens. So we can, in essence, do meditation, do yoga, do all the practices, pay all the money for all the courses, etc. But the real work is done in the privacy of our own hearts. All guides can really do is point to particular paths that have been supportive, that have been particularly been necessary for their own path. And their own path is not your own path. And that's where it gets a little bit tricky. Okay, so how they do it and how you do it will be different. No two ways will ever be quite the same. Okay, I'm going to tiptoe out of that territory. And as we release all this stuff through the left shoulder, left head, left brain, I see the right hip actually unwind a fair amount of connective tissue that was almost like adhesed. Not quite in like a full-on physical adhesion, but there was a tension that was building into creating a more fuller adhesed tissue. And that was through both the right hip as well as going into the right QL, the quadratus lumborum in the right back. And here we're working as we restored honor above to the restoration of self-value and self-worth below. So the restoration of honor helping to release the insecurity from the right hip. And then at the same time, it's also releasing what I'm going to refer to as grandiosity. And I know we've been in this territory a little bit before. It seems to be the theme for these first couple houses. It's like the ways that we figure out how to cope with existential shame of just simply existing. We're anchored in the, in this case, the right hip insecurities. And the left, well, in this case, it's actually woven around the skull bones, the sphenoid going into the back of the ear and through the ear cartilage and even into the inner ear bones and into the eye socket of the left side of the skull. And as we release grandiosity and insecurity, I see the ancestral realms come up and I see your dad's dad. And there's a sense of almost like arrogant entitlement, as well as a critical nature. Arrogant entitlement and critical nature. That became demeaning It became a sense of, if you think you know so good or so much better than anybody else, then why don't you have X, Y, Z in terms of results? And that misinterpretation, that misunderstanding, that awareness leads to a particular result in a particular way, and that one has to prove their worthiness of what they become aware of, or the worthiness of their own thoughts, the worthiness of their own intellect, and even the awareness of, quite frankly, their own being is in here, that you have to prove that those things are worthy in some way, shape, or form, set up a bit of a pattern. And if I could simplify this, we're just releasing the pattern of, I have to prove my worth. I have to prove my worth. And that's impacting a particular expression that may be verbal, for most of us it is, and nonverbal, or one or the other. But for most of us, it's actually both verbal as well as nonverbal. And here we're running a cellular repair. We're working through the expression on the literally the organ that animates the very air that breathes life into how it is you express yourself is the lungs. We often associate the expression realm with the throat. And without the throat, we're certainly not breathing things in or out. It's like the passageway. So the throat is in the mix as we're working with the lungs, more so in particular. We're also working with the various airway structures that go into connection with the lungs, the trachea, the nostrils in particular. I think reframe that. So it's less of the lungs and more the entire respiratory system. Or respiratory system, if you prefer. I used to drive my ex-husband crazy when I said respiratory. So every once in a while I would do it just for fun, just to, tease him a little bit, playfully. Okay. So respiratory or respiratory, however you prefer. And as we work with, I'm going to say, like the entire breathing apparatus, without the weight of the intellectual covering, because it was actually also putting pressure or like almost like a weight or a burden on the respiratory system, it wasn't allowing for air to fully enter and for air to then circulate through the entire system. And I see that in particular impacting the liver. That's interesting because the liver is actually connected more so with the 12th house. It's like the endings. And as the 12th house becomes more clear, as the liver becomes more clear, there becomes more energy available to circulate right back into the first house. So it's this circular loop, so to speak. So as we run the cellular repair on the respiratory system, it begins to take the pressure off as the liver becomes more oxygenated. As the liver receives more nourishment in the form of oxygen, it's more able to process the stuff that was congesting and not allowing for the endings and the material to be fully released and fall away, not allowing for the toxic is sometimes referred to as karmic patterns. However, karma, I'm going to tie that in to the essence of understanding of time that we were working with earlier. Karma is not so much a linear thing. I'm going to go so far as to say karma isn't at all linear. That karma, much like really everything, is in the moment. Karma is in the moment. Karma is in the moment that you do something. As you, for instance, not saying that you have, but let's say like a criminal commits a crime, the burden, the shame, the guilt, the everything of that is in the particular moment of that. So they're receiving their own internal punishment. It's already built in. It's already built in. So as they receive that burden, so to speak, in that moment, it's meant to be, if our senses are aligned, to be able to perceive that impact in their own guidance system. But if we're removed from this understanding, if we're removed from these ways of living, if we're removed from it so much so that we don't, in essence, embrace a different way of living, then it sets the stage for our modern, if we want to call it that, society to be where it is, which is, you know, not working from these understandings and creating cycles of punitive justice and retaliation and condemnation, which keep us stuck in some cycles. And that story isn't so much an out there in the world story. That story is happening in here, inside of you, right here and now. And these are the layers that we've been working through piece by piece. They've just been coming together in ways that I did not anticipate speaking to, but make a lot of sense based on where we've been so far. Okay. So as we release through the liver, that was a long-winded way of saying, as we unburden the weights in the liver, as we understand that the need for punishment, for justice, for someone to pay for what the heck has happened, as we release the, in the ways that we have been working on, chewing on for a while now, condemnation, retaliation, which are tied into grandiosity and insecurity in their own ways, as we release that through here, as we lighten the load of the liver, it makes it more easeful for the lungs to breathe in their next breath and to circulate even more oxygen through the whole body, including the liver, and makes it even easier for that load to get unburdened even further. Now I'm talking about this like it's a linear thing, because that's how our minds also relate to it. And then unhooking that from the respiratory system so that even more can flow. And it creates this upward spiral energy of flow, taking us out of survival mode and into thriving mode. But it doesn't happen by means of enacting justice or making somebody pay. It doesn't happen through insecurity within our own self that's looking to have a sense of deeper power. It's looking through the lens of, we're just simply acknowledging, like we did with that little eek part, that you're deeply powerful. Look how powerful you are. You've created all of this. And yeah, it wasn't necessarily great. It created anxiety. But nonetheless, it was power. So what if you could actually do that in a different way that didn't involve the dynamics of having to have suffering along the way? In that same way, using more so, a better way to put that might be using the suffering that's there to chew through it, to dig yourself out of needing to use it any further. And as we do that, there's a release. The same time as all of this, better put, the same time as all of this, there's a release of shame through the throat. As well as deep within the nose and the passageways, and it includes, maybe a bit geeky here, the nasal concha that have those sort of like, almost like a seashell turbinite pattern. There's thought to be six of them, three on each side, and sometimes an optional one, an optional extra one. The name escapes me right now, but it's got a distinct anatomical reference as well as an esoteric meaning. The esoteric meaning is what I'm seeing, maybe because this session is seemingly a bit more esoteric in nature. And the esoteric meaning of it is to, no surprise here, connect us into the oneness of our very nature of existence. or it connects us through to the mystery, and to shine that up through the skull to provide, and to the rest of the system for that matter, to provide the awareness of that. But it doesn't happen if our respiratory system is clogged up in some way. So here we're actually running a cellular repair, restoring the cells back to their fullest potential of health through all the nasal passageways, those nasal concha, and that extra one if you happen to have one. Like, they estimate in anatomy that 20 to 80% of people, which is not a very good estimate, quite frankly, have one of these. I'll try to find the name of it. I'll report back if I do locate it, or if you locate it, feel free to share it with the group on Facebook or next week on the call if you're live. And as we work here in this way, it allows for, basically, I'm seeing like a softening of the consciousness of, I'm going to say, rigidity through all of the nasal passageways. And as it does so in this softening, there's a relinquishing of the need to manage things by means of controlling them. Whether that happens through a one-up position, which is like grandiosity, like, I know better, I'm going to tell you what to do. Or a one-down position, insecurity, which a lot of us have learned through a different lens, which is in our home life, like, well, I don't know about you all, but I had this home life, where it was like, oh, don't bother dad, he's busy with something. Or needing to, like, manage or be controlled in some way because of some level of, like, insecurity. Or the energy of, like, don't do that because that could lead to this, and we don't want that to happen, do we now? And that might not have shown up in, like, don't bother dad, but it might have shown up in some other way. So those elements of control, the bottom-down position is thought to be more related to the feminine, which is why I'm maybe tying in the example of the mother. And it was my home life as well. But the one-up position is more the masculine. And it's more often associated with the role of father. And the earlier example of dad's dad, of like, who are you to say that you know that? That is kind of like a masculine competition thing of cutting one's other competition down to size. So there's less risk of missing out, of not getting their own needs met to productively locate resources. So that way they can provide what they need. And when that gets internalized in its own family unit, it becomes abusive violence. And it propagates lack consciousness. Okay, so as we release the layers of control and of judgment through the respiratory system passageways, particularly around the nose, the nasal region there, excuse me, we actually see the frontal cortexes on both sides. Excuse me, lots of burping, clearly for me too. The frontal cortexes light up. Okay, cool. I have never once thought of them this way, but it's coming up that they are like it makes perfect sense, that they are like the lungs of the high heart. So the high heart, or the heart of your higher self, is thought to be your prefrontal cortex. So it's as if the frontal cortexes themselves, not necessarily the part that's just in the center, which is the prefrontal cortex, is like much mirroring the, in a reciprocal like fashion, the chest cavity and the lungs of the heart, which makes sense why that sword was connected from left brain through to left chest. Got it. I think that's what it was pointing me to supportively allow me to learn that way. Okay, and as I see that come together, I'm seeing an intertwining, almost like a helix, but it's not actually the DNA code. It's the intertwining, a succession that I did not anticipate it being this level of esotericness today, through the Ida and Pingala channels. So I'll talk about those in just a second. The central nervous column channel is that your spine runs through in your body. Is referred to as your Sushumna, so it carries your vital life force energy. There's some other pathways, Ida and Pingala, that sort of crisscross around it. In the same way that if you've seen like the caduceus symbol, if I'm saying that right, actually I'm not sure, but like the symbol that's associated with deep levels of healing, it the staff has like two snakes that intertwine. The snakes are representing awareness, and then at the very top, there's this like flare out that's bilateral on both sides, which are meant to indicate the two halves of the brain. And the intertwining of the Ida and Pingala in various, well, I think a couple of traditions, not necessarily a bunch of them, but in a few traditions, represents how it is your energy might be flowing through your masculine and your feminine essences before they align and enter the central channel. And there's the awareness that even your masculine and your feminine are actually not separate, that they are actually one and the same thing internally inside of you. And we could say a lot about them, but I'm going to keep that there for right now. And as we work with this, the flow of that Ida and Pingala is also thought to, I have to say one more thing about it, because that's what's coming up in our journey, carry little points of blockages or stuckness. And there's a little stuck piece where the right, in the, at the level of your physical body, where your right kidney buds off. And the right kidney, it's sort of like it's budding off of into the ureter that carries the urine down into the bladder. That little area is on the right side in particular really collapsed. And there's a shame here around not having lived up, in particular, to your father's expectations. Not having lived up to your father's expectations. And as we begin to release the shame there, and however that continues to integrate for you through contemplation, through reflection, through breathing, through any other practices you may have, with it goes a layer of rage, which is actually also its own combination emotion. It's combined of anger and fear. And the rage is just to the right of the shoulder blade. Pardon me, just it's around the right shoulder blade, but more into the midline. So it's just to the right of the spine, where the spine, or the space between the spine and the shoulder blade. And as it does so, it's releasing various different belief systems around the conditioned ways that you were raised to think that you shouldn't actually love yourself. And that wasn't necessarily overt or cruel. You didn't need to live in an abusive home for this to happen. You might have, but not necessary. It's just the ways that they had their own lack through their own human nature that informed you about what you were lacking in your own human nature. And you learn that. And the fear around that and the anger and the rage that created around that was also a learned thing. And with it comes the belief system, and it's formed more so in the question of why can't I seem to get anywhere? So it's working with the places that you seem really stuck right now. So wherever it is you're feeling kind of stuck or kind of blocked. And it's linked to another sort of belief system slash question in this vein. Why can't I seem to get ahead? Why can't I seem to get ahead? And that is more so at the very top of the right shoulder through the right trap. And it's confused around choices, decisions to be made of how to actually move ahead, direct ahead to get where it wants to go through a sense of personal levels of control or volition versus, I'm going to say, receptivity. And that might be why the very stuckness is there in its form. With a sense of, I have to do something about this versus a sense of, what if I actually just got to receive that information? Which does not mean hang out and do nothing. It's not passive. But it just takes out the personal essence of, like, I'm in charge of making that happen. And in doing so, I see a bunch of hands through the right shoulder and the right head, holding it down out of a sense of, like, the hands are looking for someone to support them, for someone to do something for them, for someone to, well, rescue, save, complete. And I see this as not even necessarily like physical people, but all the various different demands that you have on your life that are, in essence, like weighing you down, around the various things that you wish to maybe even nourish in your system, in your world, in your life. But yet it feels like you're just being torn in so many directions that you can't quite get everybody satisfied, all the elements satisfied, whether they're people or things. And with this, releasing the need to be the one, the need to be the one to achieve that, to satisfy that, to serve that, or even to save the people. What if I'm not the one to save you? A softer version of that, or not necessarily softer, but different anyways. You're not the only one that's needed to save anyone. And a variation of that, they need more help than you can provide. And this is where some of the other layers of both interwoven arrogance, grandiosity, and insecurity are all interweaving in ways that create and support and sustain the earlier found rage. So as we release this, we're also releasing elements of rage through the back of the arm and shoulder, back of the armpit, back of heart as well, going all the way down through the heart meridian into the right pinky finger. Also coming off of the right jaw, right base of skull. Right back of body. Beautiful. We're going to tap this part out here. Invitation to breathe, invitation to receive, however feels right for you. Excuse me. So yawns can be also a sign of something is changing within one's states. They actually haven't found a lot of energy around supporting the idea that they actually are linked to tiredness. You might also feel tired when you yawn. But it's actually more an indication that something in your nervous or your state overall of being is changing. Let me yawn again. Probably should be talking about it. And also, maybe there's something there too, some states that are changing within me. Okay. Giving that 5 slow breaths, letting that part land there. As I open up my eyes, I'm noticing it's actually 5 after. Apparently, linear time is also to be honored, and not just the roundabout time. So forgive me for going a little bit overtime. Continuing to breathe here. As we bring this session in for a nice soft landing, touching in on the resource that you found earlier, if that feels right for you. And I've got a short song to play here for you. It's called Rainbow. It's by Beauty Wei and Clarity. It's just 2 minutes long, so if you have a couple extra minutes, I'm going to invite you to hang out here. Breathing here, receiving here. Thank you for the opportunity to gather here today. And thank you for being here exactly as you are. And thank you for the medicine that you carry within you and offering that to our group here today. As we bring today in for a nice soft landing, I'm going to invite you to see how it is your intentions for today may fit with the session that unfolded for you. Because for each and every one of you, that's going to be unique. And if you need any additional support after the session today or in the coming days, feel free to reach out, especially for those of you that are listening to the recording. And know that I'm around and I'm available. So as we land for today, I'm going to wish you all a beautiful rest of your week ahead. And we will see you next Wednesday at 4 p.m. local time or mountain time. Okay. Mwah, mwah, mwah. You're most welcome. Yeah, bye for now, everybody.